We're going to hit an important subject today. We're going to continue talking about how God the Holy Spirit gives the church gifts. So one of the most important gifts he has given the church is the apostles. And even the way I wrote this title, I want us to start thinking. I put uppercase apostles and lowercase apostles and say God gave us and God gives us. So God gave us uppercase apostles and God gave us lowercase apostles. I just want to plant that seed now so you have a foundation to understand why this message is so important, because it's a question of authority. It's a question of who has authority to write scripture, who has authority to say what the gospel is, who has the authority to say what God is like. This message is so important because there's many authorities in your life right now that might be telling you stuff that's contrary to the word of God, contrary to Jesus, and contrary to truth. We have to know where our authority is, because in our culture, where just believe what you want to believe and you're right because you believe it, becomes very dangerous because there is objective truth. And that objective truth doesn't come from me, it doesn't come from you, it comes from Jesus and the apostles he gave who were with him, and he discipled and trained them and sent them and gave them special revelations. That's very important. Everyone knows, some of your friends, anywhere you work, everyone has their own authority. Sometimes they're the authority, right? I just know. How do you just know, bro? You're dust. You know, we claim all this authority, but where we find our security, where we find our joy, where we find our faith is that we can trust the Son of God, and everything that he said and promised is truth. If he says there's a heaven, I believe that 100%. If he says there's grace, I believe that 100%. If he says I'm a sinner that needs to repent, I believe that 110%. Like, that's why we believe these things. We wouldn't even have a testament of Jesus if it wasn't revealed in the scriptures. They weren't passing out DVDs back then. Do you know what I mean? This is how they documented it. This is very important. You know, a lot of people, when we talk about this, and I want to come back a little bit to it, they live on speculation. I think God's like this. I see this. I think God's like this. You don't have to guess anymore, because God reveals exactly who he is through his son Jesus, and the apostles confirm that through the epistles and through the letters and through the gospels they wrote, so that we don't have to be tossed to and fro, but we can grow up in maturity. You know, I remember when I was younger, we were going to a small church in Medford. I was probably in between 6 and 8 years old, and I could hear people arguing. You ever been part of a church argument or seen a church argument? It gets serious in there. You know, everyone forgets that we're following Jesus and just lets that flesh come out. They're arguing, and they're arguing about, anyone heard of the fivefold ministry? Has anyone ever heard of that in their church life? So let's lay some foundation for that. I remember seeing my parents, my stepfather. My stepfather was heated. He was like, "You don't believe in the fivefold ministry?" And the dude was like, "Listen, I don't know." And it was back and forth. It was like six people. It was a dying church. It was a broken church. And so these were the implications of it. And so they were arguing. And I just remember as a young kid, like, they're really getting heated over this. And so I asked my stepfather, I said, "What are you guys arguing about?" And he was still aggravated. He said, "The fivefold ministry, those people don't believe in it." And so let me help you unpack the fivefold ministry. In Ephesians 4:11 through 16, we're going to go through today, it said he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. Now, some people in the church believe that the office of, I'm not going there yet, Dave, but I love when you pull the trigger on the scripture. Josh, much love. And so some people believe that the apostles and the prophets were given, and there's no more gifts like that anymore. And listen, if you believe that, you can still love Jesus and believe that. That's where people get crazy, right? You believe something, you go in the scripture, if you don't believe it, you're out of the kingdom. Like, you have some authority to throw someone out of the club, right? Bible-loving, Jesus-loving people believe that the office of apostle, prophet has ceased. That's the way they interpret the scriptures. As we unpack this, I'm going to be honest. I believe there's still the office of apostle and prophet, but I would talk about tiers of greater and lesser and authority and less authority. And that's what we're going to try to unpack today. What's an uppercase apostle? What's a lowercase apostle? What's an uppercase prophet? We'll talk about that next week. And what's a lowercase prophet? Because this is so important to your faith. So we're going to ask first, what is an apostle? And we want to grow in theology, grow in knowledge today. What is apostle? Why do we need apostles? And are there apostles today? We'll try to unpack that. And I want you really dive in your scriptures, and over the next month, as we talk about the gifts more in depth, asking yourself these questions. It's good to grow. It's good to mature. It's good to dive into the scriptures like that. So we're ready for the scripture now. Ephesians 4. If the pastor can find the chapter, we'll be all right. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer be children. We will no longer be children tossed to and fro by the way, by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So we'll start there. Why do you have gifts of the church? Well, we're talking apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. Why do you have those gifts? To build up the church, to equip the church so it's not mature. Churches do not mature because they don't have people who are setting those giftings, maturing and developing people. The goal of the gifts is to serve the church and mature the church of all the fivefold ministry we're talking about today. When we talk about what is an apostle, this is what we're talking about. Apostle means sent one. It's someone who is sent. Jesus in Hebrews 3:1 is called the greatest apostle. Where was he sent? He was sent to earth. You know? It says he's greater than Moses and greater than everyone. So we'll start there. Jesus was the greatest apostle. But it's important for us to give tears because some people call themselves uppercase apostles today, and I believe it's dangerous for the body of Christ. Because if someone is a apostle like Apostle Peter was, or like Apostle Paul was, what does that mean? There's implications that come with that. If they write a blog, that's not agreed in John 3, right? If you're an apostle, the apostles wrote scriptures. If you're on the same wavelength, they hit a blog up, we got to follow it like the canon. So that's a major implication if you're going to say like you're Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter. Secondly, if you question someone that says they're like Apostle Peter or Apostle Paul, what happens? It's like questioning God, right? So all of a sudden, there's all kinds of room for abuse with the leaders. If someone's going to put them on that self on that plane, they're setting themselves up and set themselves up so they can act in abusive ways. So to question them is to question God himself. God forbid if you ever think to question me is to question God himself. If that's not the biggest crock of baloney. The authority is in the scriptures, not in me. The authority is in Jesus. But many lives have been ruined because they feel like to question certain men is to question God himself, because people wrongly don't put tears and give authority to men that shouldn't have authority. Do you guys hear what I'm preaching? There's safety in understanding what I'm going to teach you today. And this is one of the ways that I think that the Catholic Church is in error. They give way too much authority to the Pope. Do you realize the doctrine they believe is that the Pope is the vicar of Christ? That means, and they say this, anything the Pope says is on the same level as your Bible. If the Pope tweets something, that's like John 3:16. Do you guys see how dangerous that can be and how that opens up to abuse and deceit and much war? There's been many wars started because men have put themselves in the place of God and his authority, and people have believed that. When you just look at the Reformation, in the Reformation, when Martin Luther put the 95 Theses on the door, you know why the Reformation started? The Reformation started because the Catholic Church, the leaders, I was baptized a Catholic, I'm half Italian, half Irish, that's how it goes. They dunk you when you come out the womb. You know, that's how it goes. I think there's a lot of Catholic people who love Jesus and will see him in heaven. But we also want to say there's some error there in some doctrine that is not scriptural. So what the church was teaching was something called indulgences. And because the doctrine was taught that if you question the Pope, that was like questioning Apostle Peter, or if you question him, it was like questioning Scripture, people ended up giving, this is what they taught, if your loved one died, they were in purgatory. If they were in purgatory, if you gave a certain amount of money, it would get them to heaven. Right? Now, if the Bible's your authority, you can look in and say, what the heck are they talking about? What do they mean, I give a certain amount of money, get? It's by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. You can't pay your way to salvation. But if those leaders are teaching they have that kind of authority, you know how many people gave so much money and continue to build an empire and gave all their wealth because they loved their loved one so much that people were teaching, if you do this, and if you look at that person like God, you can fall into folly. Do you guys hear that? That's when it becomes dangerous. That's why we as a church, like most Reformed churches, Christian churches, we believe in something called sola scriptura. That means everything we need for doctrine and practice is found in the Bible. It's found in the Bible. So anything anyone says in your life, you say, okay, you're saying that's revelation. Let me check it against the Word of God. And if they had it in those times, there would have been a lot of abuse that wouldn't happen because they could have referenced, but the Catholic Church said no one should be reading these. They were only for the leaders. Do you guys hear that? The revolution happened when everyone started getting Bibles. They started saying, hold up, what's going on here? And so we thank God that we have these Bibles. So I want to start there. This is why that question is so important, because the question of authority. So let me give you the tiers right now when it comes to the apostles. Let's start with the upper tier, uppercase, the original 12. The original 12 apostles, does everyone know who they are? This is the simplest way to remember this, because I know sometimes people ask you questions like, I don't know, apostles, I don't know. The 12 disciples became the 12 apostles. So everyone Jesus called to be his 12 disciples, you see that in the first four Gospels, they ended up becoming the apostles. Now, minus one, everyone knows Judas Iscariot went down for some pieces of silver. He ended up committing suicide because he betrayed Jesus. Who took his place? There's controversy over this. Matthias. Matthias took his place. You see that in Acts. What I believe some people wrongly do is because Paul was such like a super apostle, everyone wants to throw Paul, and I've even thought this in the past, and maybe even said in the past, everyone wants to throw Paul in that 12 apostles, but he's not. Matthias was chosen early in the book of Acts to take Judas' place. Those 12 were called by Jesus, spent time with Jesus, saw Jesus crucified, saw him resurrected, were trained personally by Jesus. They're special with a unique calling and unique authority. Let me show you how unique. Let's read some scripture here, and I'll read it. It's not going to be up on the screen. This is the 12 apostles. We're talking about an upper tier here. It says in Matthew 19:28, when Jesus is talking to his 12 disciples who become the 12 apostles, he says, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man shall sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, how serious is it? He said, you 12 men, and you 12 men alone, will sit on thrones judging Israel. There's a tier here, no? There's a level here these guys are on. Next, Revelation 21:14 says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, when John is seeing the new Jerusalem, heaven, coming to earth. And on them, the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Pretty unique, right? Unique calling, unique authority. When you start, they start saying, you got thrones in heaven, you got foundation in heaven. God has chosen you to have a unique authority. Here's the criteria for these apostles, to be an apostle. And it will carry on to the next tiers. And I got some of this from the help of John MacArthur in the scriptures, and some of it from a guy, Adrian Womack. They're on different sides. One's a cessationist and one's a continuist. So I always love throwing those in there because I love the body of Christ to be thinking. An uppercase apostle, this is from the scriptures, had to be a witness to Jesus' resurrection. If you didn't see Jesus rise from the dead, you weren't an apostle back then. These 12 had a special calling. An uppercase apostle had to be appointed by Jesus. Jesus personally commissioned these 12. He said to Peter, I'll build my church on you. He commissioned these 12. Secondly, Thirdly, an uppercase apostle had to be able to authenticate his apostolic appointment with miraculous signs. These guys were no joke. Signs and wonders and healings were being done by these men, which authenticated them as apostles to have authority to write scriptures, to know the gospel. Very important when it comes there. So that's the first category of apostle I want to give you guys. And you're groaning in theology right now. I can see minds turning right now. We got the original 12, minus one, add Matthias. Secondly, we have the apostle Paul. You got to put him in a category all his own. And what's interesting about this, you might say, well, did he meet the criteria? Let me give you this right here. He was a witness to the resurrection. You see in 1 Corinthians 15:8, he said, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. He was making the statement, I was the last one to see a risen Lord. On his road to Damascus, he went there. A risen Lord Jesus appeared to him, said, why are you persecuting me? He said, what do you mean I'm persecuting you? We went through the whole thing. He commissioned him and said, you are apostle to the Gentiles. He not only seen the risen Lord and was the last one, he was commissioned by Jesus himself to be apostle to the Gentiles. Therefore, it gives him authority. Thirdly, his ministry was authenticated by miraculous signs. Paul saw people heal. Paul saw mighty signs and wonders because that kind of authority was given to the apostle Paul. So we got two groups right now, the original 12, the apostle Paul. Let's go to another tier below that, but they're still apostles. The apostles of the risen Christ. This is probably the best argument that they're still apostles today. And hear when I say this. You have the 12 plus one with Paul. Everyone's kind of, okay, they were legit. But you realize there's others named in the New Testament as apostles even after that? You have Barnabas, you have Timothy, you have Apollos. So you see that it's keep going, that apostles are given to the church to build the church, to mature the church, to grow the church. And that's why when we get to the last question, I think there's still apostles today, but I put the smallest lowercase a on it. You know what I mean? Smallest lowercase a, because I think there needs to be a tier there. So why do we need apostles? We just said that whole thing. God the Holy Spirit gave us apostles to lay the foundation of the church, Jesus being the cornerstone, to reveal to us the truth of the gospel, to establish eternal doctrine for the church, and guard against any false doctrine, human cunning, and deceitful schemes of the enemy. Never before has the church been prone to so many deceitful schemes of the enemy and human cunning. Never before. And what happens is, sometimes we hear someone say, this is truth, and it knocks us over, like a child, it says in scripture. Like a wave, we're getting tossed to and fro, what do you mean? I went to California, a few years ago. It's the only place I would move to in New England. It's unbelievable out there, I say it every time. No humidity, no bugs. Everyone's happy, they say hello and they really care. It's different from here. We go to the beach. We're on the beach, and I'm like, this is awesome, right? I go down on the beach. I think it's like a New England beach. So I'm talking to a guy. I walk in the water. He's there. I'm talking, hey. Next thing you know, because I don't understand California water or California beaches. First of all, you know how you can kind of walk out and it gets deeper in our beaches? It's like that in the ocean. All of a sudden, I'm shallow, then I'm deep. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Next thing you know, I'm talking to a guy. And I'm talking to him. The waves are different. You know us? We get a wave like this high and we're body surfing. It's different waves out there. All of a sudden, I'm standing there. Next thing you know, I'm on my rear end talking to a guy like, what do you know? The waves are powerful in California. No wonder they're surfing out there. It's serious. You don't even see them coming. The reason I tell you this, because some of us get into the Christian life, and we're on a beach in California. We are. This is awesome. I'm forgiven. People love me. I got a good church. Things are good. Next thing you know, some truth or our sin or some deceitful, cunning work of the enemy comes, and we're on our rear end. And we're like, what just happened? I was just on the beach. If we didn't have the apostles, you'd have no way to get up. You'd just be getting thrown left and right by human coming and deceitful schemes. And let me give you an example. There was a man who was prominent in the evangelical church about 5 to 8 years ago. He started questioning the virgin birth. But because he was so gifted as a communicator and his church was growing, people are like, oh, it's okay for him to ask questions. Be careful. Everyone's like, ask more questions. Ask more. Have more confidence. You always want to ask questions, but there's people who ask questions all the time and never get the truth. We can get truth to the Bible. Because of the Bible, we can have truth. So he just threw it in one of his books. He said, if the virgin birth, if it wasn't real, no big deal. That doesn't mess up Christianity. What? What? Bestseller. Christians like, you gotta read this, bro. No, I don't. Burn that in the back, brother. It's only because of the scriptures that we know if a man puts something out like that, it's heretical. The whole foundation of the gospel is built that Jesus was divine and born of a virgin. If people who claim to have authority start proclaiming those things, that's a nightmare and many people can go astray. But we have the apostles. That's why we need them, who gave us truth and said he was born of a virgin. You see in Isaiah and through all the gospels, it's an important foundation that they set in doctrine so we don't get carried away. There was another man who had a big celebrity in his church. Big celebrity. And so you know when celebrities go to his church and they tithe, you understand me? Just additions on the church, you know what I'm saying? So it got to a point where she thought that something that was immoral, that it was okay. And he said, okay, let me talk and think through this and pray through this. First of all, there's some things you don't have to talk and think and pray through if the scriptures say them. Don't waste your time. Enjoy yourself. Then he said, he tells his congregation, he said, I got hit by something like a divine wind and told me that this immorality was okay. So you got a wind that just was contrary and trumped the whole Bible? Do you see how that can happen? You ever hear the wind, people? I just felt it. It's real. What are you talking about? If it's not in the Bible, you better stop that foolish talk. You're going to lead people astray. And we need the doctrine to protect us from all these cunning schemes of the enemy. We need this. This is truth. This is gives water to your soul and clarity to your path and life to you. And we need to stand with it. You know, it's important because it matures us. I've seen people following Jesus, and it's been 30 years, and they're still getting knocked over by the same waves. You don't have to, because the apostles gave us the scriptures that help us stand on truth. You can grow and mature, and take this word, and God's grace can work in you, and you can continue to grow. This is very important. You know, I want to read this to you, because I wrote it about just something. We need to be able to articulate the gospel of grace, which comes through the scriptures that the apostles gave us, so that we are not shaken by the condemnation when we fall short. How many people, when you sin, you feel like God doesn't love you? How many people feel like he's just let you go? You just finally sinned and that's it. That's immature. That's immature. No one can rip you. We're just saying it. God's love never failed. He's faithful even when you're faithless. No one's ripping you out of God's arms. A mature person says, you know what? I might get that thought, but the apostles taught me through the scriptures, I'm in God's arms. A second thing, we need to be able to understand a healthy doctrine of suffering so we're not tossed to and fro when suffering comes. See, a lot of people preach the gospel, and they're like, you're going to have the best life ever. Every day's a Friday. Every day's not a Friday. I feel like every day's a Monday. When I'm following Jesus, 6 out of 7 days a Monday. Saturday, I take it off. I feel like it's a Friday. You're following Jesus. You're laying down your life. People aren't giving you a good doctrine of healthy suffering. And what did Jesus say? He said, if you want to find life, you got to lose it. Take up your cross and follow me. You got to deny yourself to be my disciple. So immature people always saying, why am I suffering? I'm doing the right thing. Your suffering has nothing to do whether you're right or wrong. Or doing the right or wrong, it has to do with God has ordained some suffering in your life to make you more like Jesus, so you cling to Jesus and share Jesus and grow in Jesus. If you don't have suffering, you don't grow. You ever see someone so pampered they're not good for anything? It's like, get this person with the soft hands, and they're always overwhelmed, and they're no good because they've never suffered. Enjoy your suffering. Enjoy your brokenness. Take your turmoil. Oh, take the torment that comes with following Jesus sometimes, because that builds you up and that makes you strong, so you can be a strength to others. Whether you follow Jesus or not, you're still going to suffer in this life. At least suffer with a purpose. And that's where maturity comes in. And that's why the Bible teaches that through the apostles. That's why we need the apostles. Every one of them except John got murdered. So if we have the apostles that explain it to us, it helps lay the foundation theologically for our life. And finally, when we rightly understand what a true apostle is, we're able to be on guard against false apostles. So are there apostles today? That's the big question we all have to ask ourselves, right? Let me tell you this story right here. Maybe it will help out. The parable of the foundation. I got called for a job to do in Marblehead. What happened was, be careful when you hire family to do work at your house. This family was all excited. They got a house. They were going to redo it. They were all excited. It was a great place in Marblehead. And so they asked their brother-in-law to do it. The brother-in-law was working through a few things. If someone's working through a few things, don't let them build your house. Let them help. Let them clean something up. Don't put them in charge of the job. We go to this place. This guy, Teddy, was a contractor. He said, Joe, we got to go there. This brother-in-law has messed up everything. They want us to take over the job and make everything good. I get to the job. I don't know what this dude was doing. He was trying to build a foundation. He, like, threw a corner up. Then he went over here and put another wall up. Everywhere you looked, he tried to build a foundation. Even when he was trying to build, it was cracked. And it didn't match up. It was broken. You looked at this foundation. You said, a house isn't going to last on this. The reason I tell you this story, because some people look at Christianity and they think that there's cracks in our foundation. They think it wasn't built right. They think we have to change a few things to make it more relevant. It's fully relevant. There's no crack in the foundation of the church. There's no crack in the doctrine of grace or the gospel of grace. There's no error. How prideful are we to think that we need to rebuild the foundation of our faith? Our faith was built on the cornerstone Jesus through the apostles, and we can stand and align with it, amen? Our prideful self in rebellion think that we know better than the founders of our faith, starting with the captain Jesus. We didn't know better. Anyone who is a lowercase apostle now will build on the perfect foundation that's already laid. Do you guys hear me? That's how you can tell if it's a false apostle or not. If they come with some newer revelation that doesn't match up with the perfect foundation, they're a false apostle. But if what they're doing and their life is given to build on that foundation with the cornerstone Jesus, they're doing the work of God. Let me give you an example. Every person who is a lowercase apostle and has that gift now will go to this for their authority. They will expose the scripture. They won't try to add to it. They will go to the perfect foundation and they will teach you from that. Some common names, like John Piper says, be honest, I get scared when someone throws apostle in front of their name. It scares me. Because they're always asking for money, right? In a 25-piece suit with a diamond tie clip. I get afraid when people throw apostle in front of their name. That doesn't mean it's wrong and some people aren't called to be apostles, but there's many people who say they're apostles and use that name to abuse people and act like they are God themselves. I would say this. There are some lowercase apostles, but let me tell you what these men are like. They're humble, they don't want praise, and they don't want a title. They don't want a title. These men would be called, they would be like church planters who are planting, like go to Africa and plant churches all over the place. Or go to Seattle and all of a sudden there's 4 or 5 states covered. Or go to Texas and all of a sudden there's 3 or 5. They're just planting churches. They obviously have an apostolic gift. But none of them would claim that they're writing scripture. Or would they would put themselves on the lowest tier and they would add a lowercase to that. You guys hear what I'm preaching? Because apostle means sent ones. So these men are humble. They don't want the title even though they have the gifting. Some are called missionaries, like missionaries sent to lay down their life. They're sent, and they've been given that gift to go to a people, to change a people through the power of the gospel. And those people are changed, and it spreads like wildfire. We need apostles today, amen? We need people who have that gifting and appeal to the authority of scriptures and give their life for a people that they might be changed and more disciples are made. I thank God for the apostles he give today, but these guys don't want the same recognition as the ones in the early church because they understand authority. Let's close with this. God the Holy Spirit gave us apostles to lay the foundation of the church, to give us the inspired and authoritative scriptures, with Jesus being the cornerstone. He gives us apostles today who do not carry the same authority, but carry the same powerful gospel. Do you hear me? Not the same authority, but the same powerful gospel that changed nations, people, cities, and restores lives. There is a call to plant churches and make disciples all over the globe. We are thankful for the gift of uppercase apostles and lowercase apostles given by God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.